This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we hope it is a great day. Hope you're having a great day so far. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Is it a great day for you so far, my friend?
It's a great day. It's a great day. Yeah. I try not to think about Nico Collins too much. I guess the great news out of yesterday's press conference was that DeMeco said that Nico will be back this year. So little clarity other than that, right. It sounds like everything will be just fine, Sean.
Well, it sounds like he didn't get the type of injury that you scared the hell out of everybody with yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, did I?
Well, you did. Really? I had, as you know, at least a couple days a week, I go see what the people are saying about things at a local watering hole. And I had at least
It's your responsibility to go drink.
It's I got to be out there with the people and see what they're saying out there about the sports world and about Payne and Pendergast. And I had no fewer than three people, which was a large percentage of the sample size of people in that particular domicile.
Yeah.
And they said, man, thank God Nico said he'll be back this year because Seth scared the hell out of me yesterday.
All right, good. That's good. I'm stoking.
You're popping.
Stoking the fear. That's what people need in an election year is more reasons, man, to get alarmed about various things.
You had the possibility.
If you have people from all directions trying to tell you the world's about to end, then yes.
Seth was he was five words away from amputation of that leg yesterday, man. I was getting nervous, too. I'm like, dang,
smells
Seth.
Of almonds.
But it looks like it'll be a little less severe than that. He will be back this year. But I'm with you. Like, I'm still worried about this. Like, the offense, the sample that we have of this season so far, sans Nico Collins, involves an offense that had no touchdowns after he got... Once Nico Collins crossed the goal line with his gimpy hamstring, that was it for the touchdowns on Sunday. It was all Kaimi all the time after that.
It was.
He didn't score any touchdowns.
It's a potent weapon the Texans have there in Kaimi Fairbairn. That's going to be. I need this team to set records for field goals while Nico Collins is out.
Player of the week, by the way. Player of the week. Kaimi Fairbairn.
Got the big H-Town necklace chain thing again.
Yep.
I think as far as Nico and at least a few listeners can claim victory on this, including my retired lawyer, the prolific emailer of me, that as soon as a couple weeks ago he had that little hamstring scare on a Thursday, he showed up on the injury report, that maybe, okay, this is a classic. All right, you guys should have shut him down then. It's a hamstring. Don't mess with this. Don't try to play through it. Doesn't ever seem like it ends well when somebody tries to nurse a hamstring.
Right.
Without being able to go back in time, at the very least, maybe this is them saying, all right, look, we tried to play through it and manage it, but no, you need several weeks of rest.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's just a classic normal hamstring tweak, but you want to just be sure he gets 4 weeks of rest, gets it completely healthy and feeling good so that you can finish the duration.
And this is where Stephon Diggs, the luxury item, comes in. This allows you to... I mean, I think they still probably would have shut down Nico if Diggs weren't on the team.
Yeah.
But this is where... I think it was just as big a reason to get Stephon Diggs because of Tank and Nico's injury issues as it was trying to elevate the offense with Nico and Tank out there with Diggs. You know what
Sean,
I mean?
If Casario wants to shop at the Dior store, he goes to the Dior store and buys a Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Carlos.
If I want a Stephon Diggs, I'll go and buy the Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
That's what I do.
Yep.
So likewise with that. How much time did you spend contemplating Devontae Adams yesterday?
Zero.
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 I spent a little time contemplating him.
Zero. Not zero.
I started because there's immediately, okay, you know, like Lopez came in and he was like, nope, it's the dumbest thing ever. But then I got other people that aren't, you know, that aren't idiots at all saying, hey, man, like, why not? If you're going for a Super Bowl, why not this year? I'm holding it in reservation.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I didn't think it would be overkill for a hamstring injury that, is, as far as right now, we don't have any reason to believe it's going to last more than a few weeks.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, the Texans should be active at the trade deadline. They're a Super Bowl contender. The same way we talk about the Astros every year, even though they're a really good team, we're like, wait, they can still use one of these or one of those at the trade deadline. I think that's – the Texans should be fishing. And by the way, not only should they be looking around, Nick should be calling about Devontae Adams just to see
what
how
the
market's
is.
Going. Absolutely. So when I say zero, it wasn't exactly zero. I mean, we've got Devontae in the rundown today, so it wasn't zero. I just don't think it's going to happen, and I'm with you. Overkill is a good word for it. Let's hear from D'Amico Ryans from yesterday. D'Amico and CJ both, very first question, predictably, out of the shoot for each of them, was the Nico injury effect. What this is D'Amico Ryans first on losing Nico Collins and the effect on the offense.
Yeah, unfortunate that we'll, you know, not have Nico. Great player, been a great player all year for us, best receiver in the league, but he'll take the time to get healthy. He'll be back for us, so encouraged by that news. He'll be back at some point this season. And it's like always in the NFL, there's always injuries that happen in our game, and it's an opportunity for other guys to step up and make the most of their opportunity. That's what the league is about. A lot of guys who have stepped in when other guys were out and made a name for themselves and, you know, made some big plays in the league. So we're looking for the same thing for whoever it may be, guys just owning their opportunity.
Do you expect it to be the minimum 4 games, or could it be longer?
Oh, I'm not getting into all that. We'll see where we end up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, you know, basically shut down any chance of any kind of other elucidation. Is that a word? It's a word that popped out of my brain. Illumination? Anyway, he's not going to tell us much.
Yeah.
He's going to say nothing about nobody, okay?
Nope.
The question is, you know what we heard yesterday from D'Amico and CJ a whole lot was the classic, guys got to step up, you know? All right. We're at that portion of the season where guys got to step up. Both of your offensive tackles were banged up and out of practice yesterday, by the way, as well. I feel a little bit better about that because Blake Fisher did way better last week than he had the week before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to be in a situation where Nick Broeker or somebody else is playing one offensive tackle and Blake Fisher's playing the other. This is we're in such a weird spot with the Texans right now. They're 4-1, and yet I think everybody, including the team themselves, knows that they're in no position to act like, well, we're just going to go in there and roll over the Patriots up there in New England.
I actually think it's a great spot. I think the fact that they've played that way the first 5 games and they feel that way, I think the chances of them taking the Patriots lightly this week is more minimal than usual. I think D'Amico's a guy who's typically pretty good at trying to keep the team, even though they lost to some bad teams last year. I think he's pretty good about setting setting the guardrails of how you should feel about yourself as a team. I think it's even easier to do that knowing that the team top down feels like they haven't played even close to their A game yet. I actually think it's a good thing for this weekend that they haven't played that well.
Yeah, they very much, and that's been the tone of all the players as they talk about it, is that they all seem a little bit frustrated that they haven't looked like the team that I think they think they're capable of being. So, yeah, I don't worry about it being an upset game or anything. It's hard not to think about last year and the Panthers game or the Jets game where you went in and looked like the worst version of yourselves versus teams that were supposedly, well, at least with the Jets, at least supposedly Zach Wilson was a bad quarterback.
Right.
I'll never say anything ever again about a quarterback being bad forever now that Sam Darnold and Geno Smith and these guys
have come
along.
Yeah, so, Baker Mayfield, the recycle projects, man. Yeah.
But don't be the team that is an example of why, hey, you can't give up on this quarterback.
Right.
And with Drake May, there's obviously, and we'll talk about Drake May in the next segment. There's just a dis-ease right now.
Yeah.
Not disease, but dis-ease.
D-I-S-E-A-S-E. Yeah. Dis-ease. Yeah. I like that. So here's C.J. Stroud yesterday on the wide receiver room stepping up without Nico Collins.
Yeah, you know, losing somebody like Nico is very tough, as you guys know. So, hoping that he stays good, mental, you know. get back physically, but, you know, we're just, you know, hoping that he just, you know, understands that, you know, we're going to miss him. And, you know, we got to just have other guys step up, which I think, you know, they can. And I think Hutch will do a great job, Rob, Mitch. So, you know, definitely just next man up mentality. Got to be able to win football games without him for a little bit.
They're as equipped as any team to lose a guy like Nico Collins. Like, you look around the league, like if Justin Jefferson right. went out with Minnesota, that would be a tough putt for Minnesota move. Like if Miami's already lost their quarterback, but pretend two is there. I know they have Jaylen Waddle, but if they lost Tyreek Hill, he is the engine that makes that thing go. Nico is that for the Texans, but I feel like between the depth at wide receiver that they've got with Diggs and the fact that I do think CJ is above that line of quarterbacks that can squeeze five catches out of Xavier Hutchinson in a game if he needed to. You know, that'll get Dalton Schultz involved. You know what I mean?
In the long view of things, too, this might ultimately end up being a good thing just in that, hey, the teams are showing you all this cover, too. The team's struggling to really effectively move. They can move the ball, but they can't finish the deal. You know, they're kicking a lot of field goals. The one thing that's been the antidote to that a little bit has been Nico Collins. Despite all these things where it's just this odd dynamic this year where the offense and players on the team will be talking about how teams are limiting them and it's hard to do this, it's hard to do that. And yet, but by the way, Nico Collins is leading the league in receiving.
By a mile.
I'm like, I'm trying to reconcile those two things. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is the cover two itself isn't as much of an issue as the Texans just not being able to run the ball in general, and then also the self-inflicted penalty wounds, mostly in the version of penalties. Yeah. So yeah, all right, you can't move the ball versus cover two, except Nico Collins is leading the league in receiving.
Yeah, by 100
yards. So there's that.
Yeah.
So maybe without Nico Collins out for there for a little bit, it's kind of like when you make a basketball player only use his left hand. He's gonna get better. Begin when you make him realize, okay, he can go both ways. So use only your left hand this week.
Right.
We're gonna tie Nico Collins behind your back, and you're gonna just be all left this week, then maybe you'll get better.
It is a little like the Texans themselves, though. Like if you just watched the Texans play to play and didn't look at the scoreboard, you'd be like, all right. I mean, I think they're pretty good. They're good. I guess. I mean, I don't know what's their record. 4-1. They have one of the three or four best records in the NFL. You know, they're 4-1. Negative point differential. They're 4-1. They know how to get it done. All right.
Just yards per play, though. That's the thing. The down by down thing. Any of these games in the box score, you're looking at any given moment, the Texans are averaging like 6.5 yards per play. The opponent is averaging, 3.5 yards per play.
Yeah.
What's the score?
Yeah.
16-13.
Right.
13-10. What the hell is going on here?
How's the turnover battle? -2.
Yeah.
Really? They must have lost. No, they beat the Bills, who are like one of the best teams in football. Yeah. It's crazy. All right. So we're going to talk about some more craziness throughout the show today. We got a lot of stuff to get to on the show. Drake May is going to be starting. The Texans get a rookie quarterback in his first start. What did D'Amico Ryans have to say about that? What did C.J. Stroud have to say? C.J. had a great cut yesterday. What advice would you give Drake May? We'll have that for you coming up next.
Yeah, it was good.